I want to introduce myself. My name is Kendall, and this is my beautiful wife, Mackenzie. This is Chet and Elizabeth. We are the middle school leaders. They are the high school leaders of our high school ministry. And man, we love the next generation. I know you guys would agree that this has been a great morning already, just to see all the ways that the middle schoolers, high schoolers are serving. It's incredible. It's incredible. I know if you've been to the new members lunch, I always say this, but I love middle schoolers because there's zero filter from their brain to their mouth. And everything that comes to their brain, they say. And we absolutely love that. We get the most raw and genuine version of them. But I can more confidently say this than I have ever in my 4-3 years, however long I've done this. I'm not even sure how long we've been in this, by the way. But I'm more confident now that middle schoolers and high schoolers, the next generation, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, whatever you want to call it, are so tired of fake. They're so tired of fake. And not only are they tired of it, they're so ready for real. And so many times I have said, man, God is moving in this next generation. And right now I stand more confidently than ever that that is so true. Because I see God doing amazing things. I see kids not turning to worship just because it's fun songs, not coming to youth group because it's singing, dancing, and pizza, but students genuinely putting down their old lives and raising up anew. God is doing something in this next generation. I am confident in that. If you've seen even a little bit of that, can you just give an amen?
Today's an exciting day. I am so excited for you all to be just inspired and encouraged by just a sample set of some of our students. If I had to surmise in just a short sentence, my heart, Elizabeth and I's heart for Rev City High is for every student to develop their own active relationship with Jesus. And a verbiage we use a lot, even specifically, is that they dig their own well. And what we mean by that is that they not live vicariously through our relationship with Jesus or our pastor's relationship with Jesus or their parents' relationship with Jesus, but that they develop their own relationship with Jesus. We have just a window of time where we have these students, and then they go off into the marketplace, into education, into a vocational school, and they're on their own. And if they don't have their own relationship with Jesus, that lifeline that they've been living through is gone. And so that is something we talk about on a regular basis and want to instill with them that they know how to talk to Jesus, they know how to read about Jesus, and they know how to worship Jesus. And we are so excited about what God is doing, not just in the generation of here in this house, but in the whole world right now. God is just moving, and it's just such an awesome thing to see. So the opportunity I get to have next is introduce you all to one of our first speakers today. He is, his name is Bryce. Let's give it up for Bryce. Bryce is awesome. Bryce is one of the most disciplined young people I've ever met. I'm excited for you guys to hear the message that God's put in his heart.
Well, good morning, church. How's everybody doing? My name's Bryce. I'm a junior in high school. I'm just beyond grateful to be speaking this morning and just sharing the message God has put on my heart. I just want to begin by saying thank you to Pastor T and Amity Humphreys, and along with Chet, Elizabeth, Kendall, and Mackenzie for just putting this event on. They're huge leaders in this congregation, and especially to me, too. They do so much that sometimes goes unrecognized, that there's so much gratitude that goes to them. So if I could just open us in prayer, and then I'll open up with the message. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for gathering us here today, Lord, just giving us another opportunity to praise you, Lord, worship you, show the love that we have to you, Lord, your sacrifices that you've given us, Lord. We want to give our love back to you, Lord. Show how much gratitude we have to you, Lord. I just pray that this message touches hearts, Lord, that your Holy Spirit flows through and empowers people, Lord, as they hear this, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So if I could have you guys open up, if you guys have your Bible or if you guys have the Bible app, open up to Colossians 3, 23 through 24. And we will come back to that real quick. So I just want to start with a question. What are you living for? For some people, it may be success. Some people, it may be money, popularity, comfort, recognition. maybe even fame or achieving a dream or applause from people. Some people just want to focus on being feeling proud, having people comfort them and try to succeed them instead of them succeeding themselves. But here's the thing, all those things can disappear. Success can be forgotten, money can be lost, people's approval can change overnight. Have you ever noticed how quickly people move on after a big event, a work promotion, a graduation, a championship game, something special in someone's lives? It's exciting in the moment, but that stuff leaves. But before long, that stuff fades away. You forget about it. The confetti gets swept up, the applause fades, and people's thoughts and just focus goes away from that. They focus on other things. So the question we all have to answer, or the question the world is struggling to answer, is what truly matters? What really matters in our life? What is worth giving your life to? So today I want to share with you that the most important thing is not living in the temporary or living for the temporary, but instead living for the eternal. So our scripture foundation today is Colossians 3, 23 through 24. And that says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. That last part is so powerful. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So if I could have you guys repeat after me, because this is very powerful. Whatever I do, I do for the Lord. And that right there is very powerful. That is the most powerful thing in that scripture right there, that you serve the Lord no matter what you do. This reminds us that our lives should not be centered on chasing recognition or applause from society, but instead our ultimate purpose is to serve Christ in everything that we do. So I have 4 points today I'm going to touch on. The first point I'm going to touch on today is our value comes from God, not from the world. We live in a culture where people constantly chase identity through appearance, jobs, achievements, society's perspective, relationships, and especially in younger generations, social media. And we also tend to introduce ourselves through what we do, school, work, success in sports. But, and I can struggle with that too. I used to always introduce myself to people as, oh, I'm the student athlete. I'm an honor roll student, all this stuff. But that's not what you should define yourself as. You shouldn't define yourself as what you do. Instead, you should define yourself as the truth and the character that you are and the person that God has made you to be. So think about this. The amount of likes or follows people that chase online, if they set their worth and their worth rises on a number on a screen or a visual comment from somebody else in the society, you will always feel insecure. That will make you feel unworthy. But your worth is rooted in God's love, and that never changes. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Peter 1:18 also touches on this. It says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. This means that God loved you enough to send his one and only son to the cross for us. That's your worth. That is your worth that he sent his son. Nothing in this world can add to that or can take that away from you. So the second point I have is success is temporary, but your purpose is eternal. Think about it. No matter how much money we make, how many awards we earn, or how much praise we receive, it doesn't last forever. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:19 through 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but instead store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. How many of you have once had something that you were so proud of? A medal, a certificate, a toy, a gadget, a device you felt so just close to and you loved so much that you were so proud of, but it's collecting dust somewhere. That's what happens with earthly treasures. They don't last, but the impact you make on someone's life for eternity, that lasts forever. this challenges us to think about, are we building our lives on things that fade away, or are we building our lives on things that last forever? That's what challenges us the most. Point three I have, this is the third point, living boldly for Christ. Sometimes we hesitate to share our faith, or maybe we're worried about what people will think, how we'll be treated, or if we'll be rejected. But Romans 1:16 tells us this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." And it says it right there, not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the power of God, and that brings us salvation. If we believe in God and believe in the salvation that he will give us through his power, we will receive it. So imagine, here's an illustration for you guys. Imagine if you had the cure to a deadly disease, but you kept it to yourself. You didn't want to share it out to the public world, the public eye, for them to be healed. That wouldn't be loving. That wouldn't be the love that Christ has blessed us with. But yet, if we don't share that, we still have something greater. We have the good news of eternal life in Christ. If we really believe eternity is real, then loving people means being willing to share the hope that we have in Jesus. Not in a pushy way, not forcing it on people, not demanding them to do it, but instead showing the hope that we have in him with courage and love. This is the last point I have. What really matters? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal." This means the world and everything in it is temporary. It doesn't last forever. But eternity, the souls of people, the truth of the gospel, and the promises of God, those things will and always last forever. The question for us is, are we investing our time? Are we willing in putting our time, our energy, our lives in things that truly matter? Are we setting our mind and hearts set and focusing on that, on setting that stuff to last forever? This week, think about how you are living. When you're at work, are you working for approval, or are you working for approval? Are you working for approval from your coworkers, your boss, or are you working for approval of God? When you're with your family, are you being intentional to show them Christ's love, or are you showing them love that you feel is right? When you're at school, on a team, or with your friends, or with the sport, are you reflecting Jesus? Are you reflecting an image of Christ? Or are you reflecting the image of the worldly desires that have arisen in your heart? Are you reflecting the enemy trying to attack you and trying to win the battle, even though you have Jesus on your side? Every moment that we have is a chance to live with eternal purpose. So this is my closing. I want to go back to Colossians 3:23. It says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord." That's what calls us today. Whatever you do, whether big or small, do it for the Lord. Do it for him. Remember, you are not defined by what you do or who you follow under, but it's instead you're defined by whose you are. If I could have you guys repeat this with me one time, because it is so powerful. Whatever I do, I do for the Lord. And that's just so powerful. We need to stop chasing what fades and what doesn't last at all forever. We need to start living and driving ourselves and focusing on what lasts forever, and we need to focus on eternity. So if I could close this in prayer for this message, just you guys can pray individually. I would pray for us as a whole, but just invite the Holy Spirit in and have him touch your heart over this message. See where you need to live boldly and find out what really matters, what truly matters in your heart. Where do you need to live for eternity? Lord and Father, we just thank you. Thank you so much for just another chance to worship you and praise you, Lord. I just pray that these hearts get touched by you, Lord. You speak to them and let them know where they need to live out what truly matters, Lord, what they need to do to find the eternity, Lord, have eternal purpose in their lives, Lord. I just pray that if they have lived for anything other than you, Lord, you help us and you forgive us, Lord. Jesus helped us to live for what really matters in your kingdom's purposes. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great job, Bryce. Next up, I want to introduce another one of our seniors. This is our students, who is a senior, Cooper. So let's give it up for Cooper real quick. So I want to share something about Cooper real fast before he takes off here, but something that's so awesome about Coop, as you get to hear his testimony, is he's so beloved in the community, and truly a lot of our students even have been praying for Coop for a long time. And to see Jesus over the last year grab a hold of his heart and change him from the inside out has been such an amazing thing to see, and has been just such a truly a testimony to everyone around. So I'm excited for you guys to hear a little bit of his story.
Thank you, Chad. Well, good morning, and let's give the Lord some praise for being in his house, right? Well, like Chet said, my name is Cooper, and I'm a senior this year at Bolden High School, and I'm so honored to be able to stand before you guys and share my testimony and message and just what the Lord has placed on my heart to share today. But first off, I just want to give a huge thank you to Pastor T and Amity, as well as Kendall and Mackenzie and Chet and Elizabeth and the whole Rev City staff for just making today possible and giving me and Bryce the opportunity to share our stories with you all. But before I begin, I'd like to just open us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, this congregation, Lord, and I just ask that this message that is shared, Lord, that you open the hearts of the people listening, Lord, and you let the words that are you spoke through the messengers, Lord, to dwell with the hearts. I just pray that you unveil things to people that they don't know now, Jesus, and we just lift this all up in your name, Lord. Amen. So I labeled my testimony into three parts today. And that first part is called Living in the World. So a little bit about me growing up is I have two loving and Christian parents. We went to church every Sunday, and in my house, pretty much every corner that you turn, there's a Bible verse or something that will remind you of the love of God. But if I was honest with you guys, growing up, going to church, I really just went for the look of it, but not for the love. I went for people to view me as a guy that went to church every Sunday, but I didn't really know what that meant, or I didn't know the power behind all of that. I mean, because of that, when I got into high school and introduced to things of this world, I began to grow away from God, and I began to be blinded of his glory and his goodness. And that led me into feeling lost. And whenever you feel lost, all you want to find and seek is purpose. And so it led me into trying to find purpose. But I searched in all the wrong places. And I tried to find purpose in my sport, in my athletics, and thought that the victories were mine, or the trophies that I accomplished, or the accolades, those were all mine. But in reality, those, like Brian said, all fade away, and all are temporary things that you can hold on to. So if that's you today, if you find yourself holding on to temporary things outside of God, pause and realize his purpose is the only purpose that truly matters. And nothing else that you cling on to in this world will last forever and satisfy you besides his love and his grace. And that leads us into Matthew 6, 31 through 33. So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't let these things of little importance become anxiety or depression. And don't let yourself try to figure out what you need, because in reality, Jesus knows what we need more than what we ourselves know what we need. And what our flesh thinks we need is the complete opposite of what Jesus calls us to need and want. But because I didn't know this, and I continued to try to find purpose outside of Jesus, I suffered through lust and addictions. And those addictions led to anger towards my loved ones, towards my family. And I always felt myself coming back to the same question, if I was just sitting by myself, is how could people around me be so happy and how could I feel so broken? How could I feel like I wasn't enough, but everyone around me seemed to have everything all figured out? And people around me started to realize that Cooper's not okay. There's something wrong with him. He's holding on. He has weight or chains that are he's dragging around. And they started to invite me because they knew what I needed. To FCA, every Wednesday morning, I'd get at least two or three invites. Hey, Cooper, I'd love to see you tomorrow morning. It'd mean a lot if you came. And I'd just come up with an excuse after an excuse of, sorry, I can't make it. I'm busy. I'm not feeling it. And that led into the summer with a youth Bible study that had sparked up with the revival that's grown from 4 people to 40 plus, that we've outgrown houses and parking lots. It's been so powerful. But again, I would just shut down every offer that my peers would invite me and just make excuse after excuse of, I have this or I have that. But in reality, I was just scared. And that leads into my second segment, which is the contrite heart. And now, if I was realistic with myself, sitting down, I realized that what I was doing was wrong. The path that I was going down was wrong. The things that I was living for didn't have purpose. And that led me to realizing that I needed a savior. I needed something bigger and greater than myself, because I tried, believe me, I tried to break those addictions by myself, and it only led me further into a hole or further down the wrong path. And some of you here recognize the path that you are headed down today is not the path that Jesus has called you on. And that path does not have purpose or potential, but it actually has destruction and depression at the end of it. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is a 180 right behind you, that you are not too far gone down a path or too far down deep in a hole, that Jesus is not right behind you, that he has not followed you every way, that he is not waiting for you to turn around with open arms. And that leads into Psalms 51:17. It says, the sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. And so the biggest thing that you can take from this is come to Jesus broken. Don't try to get good to get God, because in reality, we will never be good enough or deserve his love and his grace, but he gives it to us. And if you find yourself in brokenness and struggles and you want to break free of them, just know that the only way that you can truly break free of them is give them up. Don't try to do it by yourself. Give it up to God, and he will break you free of them. And if you brought chains in today, if you brought weight that you're carrying of this world because of your job, because of family problems or issues or just things of this world, I just give you, just drop them here. Leave them here. When you walk out of this, feel renewed and feel like this weight's been lifted off and these chains that you were carrying are no longer with you. And you'll walk differently. You'll walk in a different light. And after nights of just breaking down in tears, I finally decided to finally just attend a Bible study just to see what it was all about, see what I was missing. I felt a tug on my heart, and so I did. And that leads me into my third and final segment, which is transformation. So at this Bible study, I had pretty much every one of my peers come up to me and say, Cooper, I'm so glad you came. I was praying for you. This is amazing. And that truly did spark a fire in my heart. It broke the veil that I built up around my heart, this wall, down. And I didn't even recognize the new man that I was the next day. I looked in the mirror and I was like, what is this? And then I finally realized that Jesus has transformed me. He's made me into a new man, that now I'm walking down the path that he has called me on, that gives me purpose and potential and promise. And that leads me into Romans 12:2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so now what I look back on, the things in this world that I was lost on, and I ask, why would you try to fit into an imperfect world? Why would you try to fit into a world that crucified a perfect man? Why would you place your treasures into a world that is so broken? And that's just something that really opens your eyes, that if you look towards Jesus and not to this world, that you will stand out. And that's exactly what you want. You don't want to fit in. You want people to look at you and see this light shining and ask, what's different about that guy? What's different about that girl? Why are they walking so tall? What is this light around them? Because there's people in this world who need to see the light of Jesus. There's people in this nation who need to see the glory of God, because they are lost just as I was, and they need to be transformed. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, It talks all about how the enemy blinds the minds of the unbelievers and puts a veil over them, preventing them from understanding the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. But the chapter right before that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, says that when you turn and walk in repentance and give your heart to the Lord, that the veil of blindness is torn down. And how many people are just a chapter turn away from realizing that the path that they are going down is not the path that they need to be walking down, and the journey that they are going down is not going to lead them to potential and to promise, but to destruction and depression. And that's our job, to tell them and to show them that the path that they're going down is not the right path. And if you're feeling blinded, just as I was when I was lost in my sin, and you realize that the path you're going down is in the complete wrong direction, know that there is no path that you can go down that God won't follow you down. There is no hole that you can dig yourself that God won't follow you to. And there is no light at the end of the tunnel in any path other than the path that Jesus has called you to. And that's eternal life. And so once you truly believe that with all your heart, you will see the veil lifted. You will see chains broken. You will see weight thrown off of your shoulders. And this nation is becoming aware of that. The devil and the enemy has overplayed his hand and trying to blind so many people, but he's actually united us. And we're coming together now. In the past life of worldly desires and sin, once you truly give your heart and your mind to Jesus, loses all its power. And when you look back at the past things that you lived for, you'll laugh and you'll think, how could I have done this? Well, that's because you were blinded. And there's people now who are blinded who need to be able to look back at their past and laugh and keep sharing his word to everyone else who is in this world. And so if I could leave you with one thing, it was shine your light. Shine. God has made you all perfectly in an imperfect way. He has made you all in a different purpose for a different calling. And that's the beauty of it, because if we all use our different callings, we can reach so many that need to hear and need to know, just as all we do. Thank you.
Hey, church family, stand to your feet this morning. And isn't it amazing to see that next generation stepping into their God-given purpose and walking in that potential and speaking the word of God boldly? Can I just borrow the words from a spiritual father, the Apostle Paul, to his spiritual son, Timothy, and just encourage you young people, don't let anyone look down upon you because you are young, but instead be an example to the believers in faith and conduct and purity in speech. And so let's just embrace the continuance of being a multi-generational church that understands that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I just want to encourage you today, what's it look like for you to step up and step into what these two young men encouraged us with today, living for what really matters, living for things that will matter for all of eternity, breaking free of the systems of this world, resisting that temptation to endeavor and struggle and strive to fit into a world that is broken and lost. It's what so many of us are doing. And today is the opportunity, the invitation to step into a new and better way, to step into that purpose and that potential and that promise that Cooper spoke of, to step into living for the eternal things that really matter, like Bryce encouraged us with today. And so for some of us, it's maybe getting back to the Word of God and beginning to find our strength every day from time in God's Word. For some of us, maybe it's rededicating ourselves to the house of God, to being found in the church of God. And for some of us, maybe today, it's the biggest turning point of all, and it's laying down our old life. It's repenting of our old ways. It's breaking free of that cycle of looking to be accepted in that broken, lost world. And it's receiving the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ and making him not just our Savior, but our Lord. And so today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and as the entire church family just continues to receive whatever it is the Lord is speaking to you today, would you give me the opportunity to give people their opportunity to receive that free gift? Cooper said so effectively, we don't get good to get God. God, Jesus comes right into our brokenness and he saves us, he rescues us. We could never earn it, never deserve it. And so if that's you today, far from God, lost in your brokenness today, there's a lifeline whose name is Jesus. Or maybe you're here and you're far from God, but you once loved him, once even served him, but for whatever reason, got caught up with the wrong crowd, preoccupied with the cares and concerns of this culture. Today, if you were honest with yourself, you're far from him. And if that's you, Jesus told a parable, which is just a story about someone like you. When he told that story about the prodigal son, the one who went to his father, said, give me what's mine. And he went and tried to live according to the ways of this world. And like is inevitably true for any of us who endeavor to live that way, he eventually found himself at the end of himself, the end of his funds, the end of his so-called friends. And the Bible says, Jesus said, he came to his senses. And he thought, maybe, just maybe, I can go back home and my father will welcome me home, even if just as a slave in his house. And then as the story unfolds, Jesus said that wayward one began to make his way back, that journey back home, and something powerful unfolds. It says the father sees him from a long ways off and runs to him, which tells us that the father was always looking for, longing for, praying for, hoping for, eagerly anticipating that moment when that wayward one would just begin his journey back home to his father's heart and his father's home. And so if that's you today, you're far from God, that's the posture of the father towards you today, arms wide open, eagerly anticipating, looking on the horizon for this moment where you would just take a step back towards him. He's gonna run to you, he's gonna embrace you, and he's gonna welcome you, not just as a servant, but fully restored to become a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And so here's the step that I wanna ask you to take if you're in either one of those camps or anywhere in between. And it's this step, it's right now, boldly, as part of this moment where there's an awakening, a spiritual renewal, a revival that's happening in our midst, to right now, without delay, as an outward sign of the inward work God's doing in your heart, to lift your hand as high and as fast as you can towards your Heavenly Father. You're not responding to a congregation, a preacher, or a person. You're responding to a Heavenly Father who is chasing you down. He's been with you all along, but he's chasing you down with his love to bring you into a relationship with him, to wash you clean, to make you new, to make you whole, to cleanse and restore you of all your sin, every shame, every regret, every misstep, completely paid for, fully and wholly, by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. One more moment for people to join this great many number of people who are receiving and responding today the free gift of salvation, or coming back into the open arms of your Heavenly Father to a relationship restored with him. If you raise your hand, you can lower it. And here's what we're going to ask you to do. It's not a bait and switch, but we are going to ask you to take a second step. And it's pray a prayer outwardly, but we're not going to ask you to pray it alone. We're gonna pray it with you. You're gonna hear the sound of a church family coming alongside you to support you. And it's the first of many ways that we'll come alongside you if you'll let us. So come on with some amazing people who received that free gift, started that new life, came back into relationship with their Heavenly Father. Let's pray this maybe with some fresh boldness today. Say, Father, in Jesus' mighty name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price that I could never pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. And I give you my life and I give you my trust. And because of Jesus, I will never be the same. And then come on, rejoice with all of heaven. Man, God is good. God is on the move. God is on the move. Someone say amen. Hey, let's worship the Lord one more time together. Then we'll come and dismiss you. God bless you.